And welcome to The Herbal Doctor, the podcast where we explore all things healing and cast a wide net with primary focus on herbal medicine and casting a wide net beyond this. Today, we journey into the heart of natural healing with our very special guest, Dr. Dheelish Clare, a renowned herbal medical doctor based in the picturesque city of Galway. I'm your host, Katrina Hegarty, and I'm thrilled to share with you the inspiring story of a woman who dedicated the last 27 years of her life in a career that has spanned over 40 years. Dr. Dheelish, welcome to your very first podcast.
Thank you, Katrina.
This is great. I'm so excited about this. Today, I kind of, as an introductory to this world of herbal medicine, I'd like to know a little bit about yourself and your history and everything and why you wanted to do this podcast.
Okay, this is a very exciting day for me as well. The biggest question is, why has it taken this long to do a podcast? Because my son Dan, who's a musician with the Feeling Band, wrote a jingle, an introductory musical piece for a podcast for me in 2011. And that was my intention then, to do a podcast. About 5 years ago, I went on a course at the local further education centre on how to do podcasting, because I thought, right, now is the time to do it. But as always in my life, it takes a catalyst in the form of you, Katrina, me, but to turn up and go, we're going to do this.
Let's do it.
And who has the expertise to kind of host this? And because I respond to all of these questions better in explaining to people.
Of course.
Which is, Katrina is representing all you people out there. And if you have any questions that you want Katrina to give me, I would be very welcome to answer them. So the question is not why a podcast, but why now? The other reason is so many people have said to me, you should do a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Because I love working with radio.
Right.
And on national radio, any exposure that I've had has been very limited to what herb is good for this, what herb is good for that. And because what I do is very much holistic and individualistic, or multiple herbs, and I'm very keen to get people foraging, that it's too limited. And for the wider subjects, it's actually been silenced, I would say, that people, producers, are very enthusiastic, whether it's radio or television. But when they get the breadth of what I'm talking about, there's a whole revenue stream in there which is not sympathetic to what I'm saying. So I think I realized that because I love talking and because I love explaining and teaching, and the original derivation of the word doctor is docere, which is to teach. So I love speaking and teaching. I love teaching the herbal medical students and mentoring other herbalists at this stage of my career. So now I would like to share all of this with a wider audience so that I can share my experience.
That sounds amazing. That sounds fantastic. I know you've been through this amazing career. And the first question I'd like to ask is, what made you go into herbal medicine? I know you were obviously the GP for so many years and doing different types of medicine, but what changed your mind about it, and how did you get into doing herbal medicine?
I've told the story so many times, and depending on who I'm speaking to, it actually comes out as about three different stories.
Go on.
So I'll give you one of them.
Okay, let's go for what?
The most obvious one is, as a GP, I had lots of patients coming who were complaining of conditions that I wasn't helping them with. With the best of my ability, the best of what was in the drug cupboard and in the pharmacy. And these were things that everybody recognises: chronic sinusitis, chronic congestion, chronic postnasal drip, irritable bowel syndrome, eczema and asthma, like the mild to moderate range, which were needing inhalers, and that I felt, well, surely there must be a different way of managing this. Also, against a reflection of when I was a child, there was actually very little asthma. I can remember one child when I went to the Gaeltacht, which is an Irish school in the summer, having very severe asthma. And when I was working as a school doctor in London 25 years ago, there was a whole room dedicated to all the inhalers. So there's much wider things happening to do with the environment. And we were managing them by just giving people more and more drugs. So there was an environmental aspect that I felt wasn't being addressed. There was the setup of doctoring, where you had, in our practice, it was 10 minutes per appointment, and that was very generous. There's very limited as to what you can do in 10 minutes. But it's not as little as people think, because you get to know your patients and it's 10 minutes added to all the previous 10 minutes. So I don't think, for some things that's enough time, but for many things it wasn't enough time. So, but the crux of the matter was that I was giving people drugs for acne, you know, 6 months of antibiotics, for mild to moderate acne, and the more severe patients were requesting Roaccutane, which is an extremely toxic scenario, and there can be permanent effects, and there can be epigenetic effects. More and more children were presenting with ADHD, requiring Ritalin, which is a stimulant for brains. I'm not saying there's no role for it, but the role for it was expanding, according to a massive rise in diagnoses, but also pressure kind of for controlling children to fit in the classroom. So I was getting more and more uncomfortable about a number of aspects of things. Using the pill for managing period problems in teenagers, when I felt that there was going to be time enough in their lives when they would need to rely on the pill and hormones for contraception. So it's not an anti thing. Mm-hmm. It's just a kind of, do we really need something that powerful? And also this ineffective, because it wasn't treating anything.
No.
It wasn't treating anything of the underlying condition. I had no concept of that at the time.
Well, I can
tell. So it wasn't a reason for changing my direction.
I do understand where you're coming on that, in terms of, I had, as a 13-year-old, had to take the pill, which I didn't understand either at the time. So I do understand where you're coming from on that. And what kind of years would you say this was happening?
Between the noughties.
The early noughties, yeah. Okay.
And the other thing was, as a GP, you were giving all of these multiple medications, shopping bags full of medications. And really, there wasn't an opportunity to monitor it properly.
Okay.
I mean, I was very conscientious as a doctor to do my best.
Sure.
And to get home in time for supper.
Yes, of course.
Because I had a family as well. And not a hope, you know, of properly monitoring. I mean, it would have required a community pharmacist and a GP working for 3 months to sort out some of the chronic prescriptions, including for people with learning disabilities in a group home, which had about 30 residents. And that would have taken 3 months by itself. Many of them were on medication for 10 or 15 years that had never been monitored. So I was getting more and more uncomfortable, you know. But I ended up with doing a degree in herbal medicine, because I thought something must have something better to offer.
Yeah.
Or might have something better to offer. And I was thinking that this would be in the terms of a placebo. I had no trust or confidence that herbs did anything. But if it's, we all want the doctor to give us a medicine, that's kind of built in. Mm. We want our mummies to tuck us in when we're sick, and we want our doctors to recognize how sick we are. And I just thought, well, maybe I can use things like chamomile and thyme, and I don't know, a few other herbs that I knew had made it feverfew, parsley that was good for high blood pressure. Not that I would have treated that at that time with herbs. I wouldn't have had the knowledge. But I thought there would be some kind of leeway. Some of my friends had done acupuncture and homeopathy, you know, over 5 years, some of them. But they weren't able to incorporate it into herbal, into their general medical practice, because any kind of collaborative medicine takes time. You can't shortchange acupuncture and time, homeopathy and time. And in a 10-minute appointment, what could you do with those? You know, there are shortcuts, there are small things that you can do, but not as a system of medicine. So I thought I would, being very cute and clever, by incorporating it with herbal medicine, which I had an inkling had a relationship, a historical relationship, with what I was doing as a GP. because so many drugs derive from plants originally. So I set off on my journey with very little expectation, and lo and behold, I got a grant to have a herbal medicine clinic with three of the top herbalists in the UK at the time, sitting in with me teaching herbal medicine. This was a unique opportunity.
Wow.
And I thought, yeah, that's great. You know, still with very low expectations. So we set about on this project over 2 years, and I'd be danged if my patients didn't keep coming back and saying that they felt better.
Wow.
Overwhelmingly, it was popular, they felt better, and there were some numerical aspects. And we can maybe discuss some of those in more detail.
Sure.
But they kept coming back and kind of going, God, my patients actually feel better. They're doing better.
Yeah.
I'd looked after them for 10 years. I knew the difference.
Yeah.
This wasn't going to an isolated training practice, you know, where all the patients were new and there was no backstory.
So you obviously knew your patients' medical history in terms of what medicines they were taking, and then obviously the changes into the teachings of your herbal medicine, what they were taking.
Yeah.
And you obviously seen a difference between the two.
Well, more importantly, they did.
They did, obviously. Yeah. But
yeah.
But like, for, I'm just trying to get at the idea of, you know, the difference between normal medicine and the herbal medicine, that you've seen a completely difference in your patients, or was it something that was just gradually coming?
It wasn't completely different. I don't think there's a complete difference between my pharmaceutical medicine practice and I'm using what is most suited for the patient.
Okay.
Right.
Right.
So the people who had long-standing complaints of anything from arthritis, chronic sinusitis, irritable bowel syndrome, interstitial cystitis, autoimmune conditions, they all noted, they would be the standout in those 2 years looking back in memory. Teenage acne and anxiety, stress, anxiety. My general practice in London, it was in a working class estates.
Sure, right? Okay.
So these weren't one consultant describing them as the Sunday supplement readers at the time, when only the broadsheets had a Sunday supplement.
Oh, right. Okay.
This was very far from that, Katrina. And it wasn't there was very few hippies in Jesus Christ sandals, or, you know, this was not a select population. These were my patients.
Right.
Over the previous 10 years. So for those conditions where previously I had given them everything in the cupboard, and I said, well, actually, I've got a herbal medicine clinic. Why don't you try that?
Mm-hmm.
And they were very pleased with the results.
Mm-hmm.
So there came a point where I went, oh, my God, this is proper medicine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sounds very ignorant of me now, but it was a kind of, oh, my God, you know.
Like a light bulb moment.
It was a light bulb moment. You're quite right. And there was another, I won't say it's a light bulb moment, but there was one day, every day at lunchtime, we'd do two boxes of ink dot matrix printout boxes of repeat prescriptions. No kidding, right? Mm. And I was in the middle of the second box, and I was thinking, I mean, you couldn't bring all these people in for an orderly review, right? Because the volume.
Okay.
Right? So I just felt sick. I actually felt nauseous. And I thought, I can't keep doing this. I know my job has a great pension, but I can't keep doing it.
Yeah, of course.
Not when I know, not when patients tell me that there is another way of doing things that is somewhat effective,
mm-hmm,
as opposed to not effective. All right. So there's no brilliance in here. There's no magic. You know, there's no magic realism that herbal medicine is the only thing that can manage anything.
You're right. Okay.
So I previously did not have a way of helping these people through their lives, which is my job as a doctor.
Sure.
And now I do. And in the beginning, I thought there's no side effects. Right. I thought, this is great. There's no side effects.
Mm-hmm.
Over the next few years, I realized there are side effects and they're all beneficial.
Brilliant.
Right. So as well as helping somebody with allergies, allergies are very common as well. I'm also helping the cardiovascular system, because the herbs are very rich in antioxidants and nutrients. And so nearly all of the effects that aren't the direct effects that I'm looking for also have beneficial aspects on other areas of people's health.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's the, I've learned so much from you in the last 10 minutes already about what herbal medicine is all about. Just for the change in the attitude towards it, obviously, as well.
Yeah.
You know, so it's important to get that message across, obviously,
yeah,
this podcast.
Yeah.
I will say, as you know, we get the listeners and people want to listen to this podcast, I would like to ask for listeners' feedback. Is there anything that you would like to get from the listeners in terms of questions? Are you interested in talking about, you know, say the next podcast we'll do would be talking about what is a good antioxidant in the diet or different things like that as the podcast grows. I'm also very interested in getting listeners' ideas about what they'd like to ask you as well. Like we'll have a ask Dr. Dealish Clare question place as well in this podcast.
Yeah.
And we can put it up on all the social media platforms as well, just to get an interaction with people. Moving to Galway, when you got to Galway, mm-hmm, maybe kind of take me from there and what you did when you came here.
I graduated with my degree in herbal medicine in 1999. And I blessed the herbs because it got me back home to Ireland. I had a very good life in London. I had a very good job. And wonderful patients.
Sure.
Really kind of, you know, you get to know people very well and you're kind of involved in a whole network,
mm-hmm,
right, of families and neighbours, and you get to know what's happening. And also it was free medicine on the NHS, and I found it very, very difficult to have the concept of coming back to Ireland having to charge people for medicine.
Aha. Uh-huh.
That was a big social kind of, you know, disincentive. But I couldn't keep going, and there was no formula for doing this in the UK that I couldn't repeat in Ireland. So and my son was about to start my youngest was about to start secondary school, so
okay,
it seemed like a good time. So we came over. I was very inspired by Napier's apothecaries, herbal pharmacies and clinics in Scotland. And I thought I could repeat that kind of formula, mm, of having a way of people accessing herbs directly, buying their own dried herbs, buying their own individual tinctures where it would be open to the public. And I would also have support staff to help with dispensing with the herbs. We did that. We came to Galway. And for anybody who doesn't know Galway, it's a city with a lot of arts and music and universities, through two universities now. And
it's quite I always thought Galway as a bohemian kind of city,
yeah,
really.
Yeah.
You know,
I only recognized that for myself personally very recently. I started playing the Bowron.
Yes.
Which is that Iron drum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's one thing we'll explore too.
Yeah.
We might get you playing on a podcast too.
You never know. But when I was going to the class for the first few sessions, I was walking around Galway with my Bowron and I was thinking, oh gosh, I've really arrived in Galway. How, you know, I'm so cool. And anybody who knows me will know that I am not cool. Right? But don't wait the same 10 minutes, just for that 10 minutes. Like, I've arrived, right?
Yeah.
So that'll give you the kind of, it's very similar. One of my sons lives in Bristol, so it has a Bristol, Galway kind of vibe, you know, and it's on the Atlantic. So, yeah, what's not to love?
What's not to love, exactly.
But let us on to that.
I was just saying.
Oh, yeah, when I arrived in Galway, yeah.
In Galway, yeah.
So I set up the shop and the clinic, and I thought I would be doing out of hours general practice cover for the first 3 years to build up the practice.
Mm-hmm.
My gosh, it took up off like, it was like people were waiting for me to arrive.
Wow.
You know, right from my first appointment of a dispenser, and it was like she'd been here and she's still working with me,
mm-hmm,
Annie Dillon. So it was like just moving into a glove that fits. So the whole success story started from then. That was in 1999. So we're 25 years. This year we'll be celebrating 25 years.
Fantastic.
So my colleague Lara joined Lara Iona's daughter and joined me about 10 years ago. So there's two herbalists working in the practice and a whole network of therapists, some of which we'll interview for the podcast because, you know, I think herbal medicine, sometimes I refer people to medical consultants, sometimes for acupuncture, for yoga, for holotropic breathing, for there's a whole network, and obviously for counselling. So herbal medicine isn't a standalone, you know, we can do everything for everybody, you know, but it most certainly has a place.
I'm so excited about this because now I have all these amazing ideas just popping into my head, and you just took one idea from me already where I'd like to talk with your staff and interview them and get to know them as well, but all the people that work in your lovely shop. And also, I think a good idea would be to talk about what products you have and what goes through in making the product and how you make the product as well. I think that would be an interesting talk as well. And also to maybe have different, if patients wanted to give feedback and stuff on what they've taken over the years and how it's helped them and how it's changed their life and enriched them and everything, I think that would be a good idea as well.
Yeah.
So you're, this year you celebrate, are you having a big celebration? Are you going to celebrate the 25 years of being here, or are you going to have a...
Yeah. In October, I would say.
Yeah.
Which was the month that we
opened. You opened.
Yeah. But my clinic moved then in 2005, and both times the current president of Ireland was to open them. The first time he couldn't make it, and his wife Sabrina stood in very, very competently to the breach. And in 2005, the clinic was launched by Michael D. Higgins.
Wow.
Who's the current president.
That's fantastic.
Who we're all very proud of.
Yes, exactly. Especially us living in Galway. Definitely proud of that. I think the podcast will grow and it'll change maybe as we go along.
Hmm.
But for now, I think I want to thank you for being with me today on this number one podcast. And hopefully we'll get to the point where I'm doing 364 episodes of this amazing podcast.
Yeah.
We will put all the information up on your social media platforms. And we'll also add it on to your website as well. If you want to give the listeners your website.
drclaireapothecary.ie.
Okay. And then you can also contact the shop as well in C Road here in Galway.
C Road in Galway.
Yeah. Thank you so much for this. This is great. It's great insight to your history as a doctor and where we're going to take the podcast from there. I think it's great. I'm super excited. I'm sure you are as well.
Yep.
And yes, stay tuned and we will...
All will unfold.
All will unfold. Thank you very much, Judith. It's been a pleasure listening to you this morning. We look forward to you joining us on this journey of exploration and learning with the herbal doctor, Dr. Dailish Clare. And we'll be back with you very soon. So thank you very much and stay tuned.